Real families, real farms, real food. Welcome to Arizona Agriculture Connection with Maricopa County Farm Bureau. My name is Nicole Clements, Executive Director, and I'll be your host. Maricopa County Farm Bureau is the voice of agriculture in a community that thrives on the dichotomy of urban and rural agriculture operations. This podcast is a home for farmers, ranchers, food lovers, prospective agriculturalists, and those looking to connect the food on their plate with the farm that it came from. As we take an inside look at agriculture in Arizona, we will delve into topics like ag technology, policy, food preparation, and everything in between. You can find us on your favorite podcast platform with new episodes every Wednesday. Arizona Agriculture Connection is hosted by Maricopa County Farm Bureau and sponsored by Paloma Ready Mix and Materials, a proud supporter of agriculture and our communities. Be sure to subscribe and share your favorite episodes with your friends. For more interactions, follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Maricopa County FB. Now let's discover some Arizona agriculture. Welcome back to another episode of Arizona Agriculture Connection. This week we have Ms. Sean Wood, who is an amazing person that I have been able to be acquainted with through my time in Arizona. She is currently the Arizona State Farm Bureau Women's Leadership Committee Chair, as well as sitting on the board for the State of Arizona Farm Bureau. And welcome to the show.
Thank you, Nicole, and thank you for having me.
Fantastic. We're so glad you're here. We're going to kick it off today talking a little bit about women in agriculture. And as one myself, I find that surrounding myself with influential and women in agriculture who are just really poised in their leadership, very glad to get to know you over the past few years. So I'm excited for you to share a little bit about that. And why don't you kick it off with a little bit about your background and your story, you know, growing up as a woman in agriculture.
Yeah, well, thank you, Nicole. And I'm flattered that I don't know if I fit that category, but I appreciate the kind words. So yeah, I'll start out, just share a little bit. So I am third generation, grew up out here in Buckeye. And here on our farm, my grandparents' farm, just typical childhood, like really great childhood here on our farm, raising animals in 4-H and involved in FFA, spent most of my childhood through junior high and high school. We're a chopping crew, so I was chopped cotton for 6 years with a couple of my best friends, and then moved on to we were the Baler Babes. We were the hay baling crew around. And I just have to say, our boss, Sam Molitor, said we were the best baling crews ever had. So I think we'll continue to wear that hat. But when I grew up around agriculture, our family also has a house moving business. So very diversified. I'm at a feed store in Cottonwood. So I kind of grew up in that entrepreneurship, but also just agriculture community, and loved it. But I wanted to do something different. Like a lot of, I think, farm kids maybe want to get off the farm and explore the world. So I wanted to be a commercial pilot. So I went to school to be a commercial pilot over at the time at ASU East, and got my pilot's license, started working on my commercial. And I realized that maybe I wanted to explore more of like the entrepreneurial side. I missed my agriculture roots. I kind of started coming back to them, and the ag business program was there. So I switched over to agribusiness and got my degree in agribusiness, farm credit, had an internship. I was able to intern with some really incredible people there, and they offered me a job to be an ag appraiser. I had graduated a year early, so at that point I was thinking, well, a job's a job and I'm happy to have it. So sure, I'll be an ag appraiser. I don't know what that is, but I'll figure it out. Lo and behold, it worked out pretty well because I'm a pretty analytical mind. And what it provided was 4 years of kind of working around the state, working with a lot of agriculture families, farms, ranches, dairies, and working underneath some really incredible people there at Farm Credit. And then started my own family. We moved back to Buckeye, and then I moved over to Headquarters West. And so I was there for 10 years with, again, just incredibly seasoned individuals. Learned the ropes there through brokerage and appraisal consulting, and had just this really cool experience of working all over the state. What I realized is I really started to learn that the ag industry, it's unique and it's special. It's built on families and legacy of families and hardworking, where 40 hours a week really isn't even in the vocab. And then in addition to that, what we were working with was just a number of complicated ag aspects that come with real estate. And that's the water, the soil, the operations, the economy. And that was just something I really enjoyed. So pursued that. My husband and I had three kids and moved back to Buckeye, and we started farming. My husband farmed some with his dad, and luckily was able to kind of move back to the farm and run our real estate business. We still work all over the state, work with agriculture families. So it's a lot of fun. We've probably been on, I bet, 95% of the dairies in this state. And I like to say we get to see every nook and cranny of the state through whether it's the appraisals we're doing or the real estate that we're working on, and work with really incredible people. So that's a little bit of my ag story. You know, as my kids have kind of grown up, we've then got back involved with 4-H and 4-H leader. And we have a couple of little small little cattle that we raise and farm some grass and alfalfa. So yeah, that's my ag story, I suppose.
I love it. I think one thing, maybe kind of kicking it back to a couple weeks ago, we had an episode on careers in agriculture and just kind of understanding it's usually not linear. And I think a lot of people share that same sentiment of, I want to do something in ag, but I don't know what, and I don't know how to go about it. And it's just kind of saying yes to these opportunities and see where it takes you.
Absolutely. I think, you know, growing up, I was always a kid that enjoyed exploring new things, seeing new things. If there was an opportunity, the answer was usually yes. And then I also think, you know, God's good. He provided me a lot of opportunities. When I look back, just put really good people in my life. But you do have to be willing to say yes and explore that. And you never know where it's going to take you. I always say, I don't think anybody grows up and says, I want to be an appraiser when I grow up. But, you know, it's a great career, and it leads to a lot of other avenues to explore as well. So
just do a couple things that might scare you a little bit, you know?
Yes, exactly. Or a lot of things.
Through that journey, kind of, have you experienced anything that maybe as a woman in a business that's traditionally in the male dominated side, this kind of extra pressure to succeed, to kind of prove yourself in that sense?
That's a good question. I look back and I was extremely fortunate that I had really, really great examples in my life. My grandma, June Dean, her and my grandfather ran the businesses together like lock and step. They each had their roles. But I spent a lot of time with her and I watched her handle difficult situations. I watched her be the glue that held the businesses together. And without realizing it, you absorb a lot of that. So when it comes to like challenges or maybe even things that intimidate me, I almost take intimidation as a personal challenge. Like I experience intimidation all the time. I think we all do. But I just kind of translate that into a good, healthy challenge. And that, I don't know where that comes from, but that's just something I think I've always had. Like, I like the enjoyment of seeing what I can do with something. And so if it's something that intimidates me, there are times, you know, it'll knock you back. But for the most part, if I sit and I think through it, like, that sounds like a good challenge. Let's see what we can do with it. So yeah, absolutely. In a kind of a male dominant area, whether it's agriculture or brokerage or even appraisal, I remember sitting in like my first appraisal conference. There's 100 people in the room. And I remember counting, and there were like two women. It's like myself and another person who had been back in like the early 2000s, you know. Things have changed. But I guess I didn't look at it as so much as intimidation, but like, oh, this is going to be a fun challenge, right? So I think that's been my approach to life with it.
Feels like a positive spin on it, because I know sometimes it can feel really heavy to be in that situation and, you know, kind of sit in that intimidation. But that spin that you put on it and give it almost this positive, well, let's see how far I can knock this out of the park. I think that's incredibly helpful.
Yeah. And I guess maybe because there are barriers, and at times there are barriers that are set that are just extremely challenging to get over. So oftentimes finding different ways, I'm not afraid to work hard. So work hard, but also work smarter. And figure out how to kind of beat some of those barriers, and also have patience to know that like some of those aren't going to be beat just today. Maybe that beat you today, but we're going to work hard and we're going to beat this in the next, you know, maybe year or 2 years, or we're going to figure out. And the other thing is sometimes just moving the needle a little bit to know that whoever's coming up behind you will maybe have a little bit easier path. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think sometimes we like to, as
women in ag like to think that there are no barriers and we can, you know, just move through our journeys the same as anyone else. But in reality, there really are some things, whether they're, you know, a major or minor. And I think having that ability to just kind of push past it and keep going and knowing that you're kind of leading this trail for the next generation to come in too, because, you know, in the last even 20 years that I've been working, essentially, you know, thinking about how much has changed since then and the attitudes and the perceptions. And I'll say even from the region, the regional differences, you know, I'm from the Midwest. It's a lot different here. And when moving here, was really excited to see kind of the extensive leadership in agriculture that comes from women in Arizona. We're 48% of the producers in Arizona are women, which makes us the number one state in the nation when it comes to women in agriculture production, which I think is fantastic. But do you see that reflected, you know, kind of across your various hats that you wear?
Sure. Yeah, really great question. So I'll kind of break it into two. As chair of Arizona Farm Bureau's Women's Leadership Committee, I think we have the perspective that that committee is incredible. It has like over 20 women from around the state that have maybe have had their challenges, but at the same time, like there's really, we just remove any barriers and we just do the work we want to get done. And with a lot of fun and a lot of collaboration and some like everybody has incredible skills that they come to table with. But on that note, from like the Arizona Women's Leadership Chair position, my goal in that has been for us to forward our mission, but it's also to create opportunities for women and really anyone that if at some point you end up at the table or you're vying to be at the table, that when you get there in whatever conversation that is, whether it's school board, your county farm bureau, you know, some issue down at the city that you'd like to visit about, that you're confident, that you have the skill set, and that you have received the training that allows you to sit at that table and have that confidence that you deserve to be there, what you're about to say should be heard, and that you're able to express that, right? So you're able to advocate. So that doesn't come naturally to most of us. I think some people maybe are born with it, one or two, but the rest of everybody, that training and that leadership experience and the interaction and the support that you receive through the Farm Bureau training is really important. So that's one thing that our women's leadership mission is too. And I love that because it just keeps building people, right? And those who want to learn and build on those skills. From the national level, my position on the American Farm Bureau Women's Leadership Committee, that has really opened my eyes. I think if we sit in our Arizona area, we can come from the mindset of, yeah, well, there might be some barriers there. The path's been paved to some extent. We've had some incredible leaders, you know, the Sherry Saylors, the Stephanie Smallhouses of the world that have really allowed that. We've got a great selection, like across even at our state legislature. Like Arizona, I think, is pretty much open for business for both genders to pursue. So we come from that mindset that there's not a lot in our way. But on the national committee, that's provided me 2-3 times a year, we travel around the country to different areas, visit those farming communities, have discussions, learn about what their issues are. And it has been very eye-opening to me to see the difference around our country that maybe the barriers are still pretty high in some areas. There are some county boards out there who don't invite women to the county board table. And that's really crazy. That's been really crazy for me to like wrap my head around. But again, it all goes back to that training of preparing people to work their way in. But also when you're invited to that table or when you've received that seat at the table, that you're prepared so that you represent and you're invited again the next time. Right. So that's kind of the goal of, I think, Farm Bureau, but also it's kind of blown my mind a few times that the country is so different across all the different regions, the states, the counties. But I think it's what makes this country incredible. Right. It's just a constant moving target of our population.
For sure. I think before Farm Bureau, kind of thinking about the motto, you know, the voice of agriculture, in your head, you almost think, well, Farm Bureau speaks for the farmer, right? Which they do. But I think what's missing from that context is the tools that they give the farmer themselves to grow and utilize their voice, mm-hmm. which, you know, I didn't really think about it before, but it was a great opportunity for anybody to kind of get the knowledge and the confidence to speak up about issues on their farm or around them in their community. And I mean, that just makes for stronger communities in the long run. So
it absolutely does. I grew up with a grandma who would say to me, if I'd be irritated at something or I'd be have an issue that was driving me crazy. And so she was a person I would talk to and she'd listen and she'd say, well, Sean, if not you, then who? Who's going to speak up? And, you know, I think those things of people pouring into you, but also I reflect on that a lot. There's rights and wrongs and there's goods and bads, but there's also a time where if not you, then who? And so many times in agriculture, and I know even in our family, they're like, oh, somebody else has got that. Somebody else has had. But do they really? So I think the other thing I want to share about Farm Bureau is like in my 20s, if somebody said, well, why should I pay my Farm Bureau membership? I'm going to be honest. In my 20s, I was like, yeah, I don't really know. Like maybe just, you know. But today I'm an absolute advocate for the value of Farm Bureau. And I think it's because through my journey, seeing what can be done, and knowing that what your membership pays for, it really gives you that voice. So when you're working, they're out there working for you, Chad and everybody at the state office, you and our county office, those issues, somebody's keeping an eye on them for you. Somebody's down there advocating for you. But in addition to that, my travels to DC, when I have been at that national level, sitting in the DC office and meeting the lobbyists, the quality, the economists, and what they're working on for us down there, like hands down, this organization has the farmers and the ranchers' backs. They have the contacts. I mean, I've also said, and while I would never pull this card, we're literally two calls away from the president if we need to be, right? Zippy in his role, President Duvall in his role, has the Department of Ag. They visit weekly. And he can get a meeting in front of Trump if he needed to, right? So it's just really incredible to think that we're out here doing our work. And if something tremendous were to happen or something, we have that lifeline, that link. That's worth your membership all day long, all day long. So, and more. So, but don't tell him that. We don't want to raise the fees, but yes. So.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, I love the wise words from Grandma June. Also, June Dean is just such a great name.
Oh, thank you.
But are there any other women that you have kind of taken a lot from or maybe been inspired by throughout your journey?
Sure. I take inspiration from just about everyone that I work with. And I don't know if I share that often enough, but I wear many hats. And there are many days I look and I think, am I doing this well? Am I the best person to be doing this? And I think those are good questions to always ask yourself. And then if it's time for someone else to be doing this, because they're going to do a better job, it's time to take your hat off and hand it off to the next person. But as I wear my hats from at the national to maybe state board, women's leadership chair, my Grace 4-H leader hat, 130, 40 kids now in that club, and then, you know, the other committees and different things that I might sit on, how do you do that, like Sean? And it's because I am fortunate enough to have surrounded myself with really, really incredible people. So like here in my office and running a business too, and trying to make sure we get the bills paid and providing a good lifestyle for those people who are employed here. But I'll tell you, every single one of the people here in my office are far better in so many ways than I am. And I learn from their leadership, right? I learn from them. And I would say with like our state women's leadership chair, same way. I admire every single one of the women that we work with on that committee, you as well, because I learned so much from each of you. Everybody has a different type of leadership style. Everybody has something great, many great things they bring to the table. And so I think in general, I try to surround myself by people that I can just learn from, right? And then that has really played out well, I believe. And it also makes life a lot more fun. You know, you're not always everybody's cup of tea, but if you're kind of around people that have the same mission and goals and you see the good in the people that you're around, you really, like, good things come from that. I really feel like God blesses those situations and you can feel it. It just is great. So, and there are times it's not great and things have to change, and that's okay too. So in addition to that, I am an avid, I like to read a lot of books. I like to listen to a lot of Audible. I'm on the road a lot. So I like my economics. I like exploring new ideas. You know, I kind of try to grab some things out of that. I was super blessed to have just wonderful parents. I still do. My dad and mom raised me in such a way that we went through the turmoils of the 80s. I was a kid. I had no clue how bad it was. I just remember my mom one year saying, okay, as we were going to get our school clothes, I remember her saying, we were going to Payless, you need to consider you may only get one pair of shoes this year. So when you pick your shoes, just pick wisely. I look back at that time and I think, I didn't feel like we were missing anything. I didn't feel shafted. I just felt like that was just something my mom. So I picked the kids because you could throw them in the washer, right? And wash them up because I like my things to be clean. But so it's like those experiences in life. But so I share that only because my mom and dad raised me in such a way that no matter what I wanted to do, my dad would always say, well, we can figure it out. You want to be a commercial pilot? We did not have the financial means to send me to pilot school, but guess what? I found a way, right? And so they never put any restrictions on my crazy ideas. It was always just full support. So when I look back at the leadership of and people I've admired or that have paved the path, like obviously Grandma Dean, my parents, and there have been so many people along the way. Sam Molitor gave me our first job, worked us for eight summers, right? Kept us out of trouble. We were nerds out there chopping cotton and baling hay. And then just a number of people that I've worked underneath. And I want to say I'm pretty fortunate because I've not worked underneath anyone who I've ever felt like, because I was a woman, I couldn't do this. So just very fortunate too. And again, that's maybe just a regional thing. Charlie Havranek, Connie Inglehorn, some of those people I've worked under, really great, you know. Sherry Saylor, she's mentored me in this like national leadership. Obviously, she served like a tremendous amount of years, as in her words, too many, but just incredible. And so you see people that are like giving of their time. And so in times when you're like, oh, am I doing the right thing? Like you can learn from those people as well. So, yeah.
Speaking of all of the hats that you're wearing, you know, we're talking about all of these different experiences that you've had or are currently. So, you know, you're on the National Women's Leadership Board, the State Board, the Women's Leadership Chair at the state level. You're on our county board. You run your own business and your mom and your wife. And how do you keep it all together and juggle all of these different hats? Because at this point, I've lost count.
Yeah, me too. I try to keep a meter on my involvement, a personal reflection meter of, am I doing the job well? And if I'm not doing the job well, it's time to consider stepping aside for someone else that can do the job well. So sometimes, though, that means kind of stepping aside and prioritizing what gets the most attention. Do I do that well all the time? I don't know about that. But what I do every morning is I get up and I say, I'm going to do my best. And sometimes I fall short, but I really gave it my best. So that's number one. I think it's attitude, just getting up in the morning. Number two, that whole thing of surrounding yourself by really good people and building good teams is truly the only way that I'm able to wear the hats. Like, honestly, when it comes to the AFBF involvement, when I'm traveling, like with the travels around the country, the office here, they're just incredible people. So they make the phone calls happen. They do the follow-up. I can text them. They'll get something done in less than 5 minutes. We've got a full staff here and they're just, I'm just super blessed. My family, they give up so much for me to be, but they're just like, it's how mom rolls. I think my soul just likes to be fed, right? And so maybe they're like, hey, if she's off doing that, she's not bothering us. I don't know. But, you know, I've got actually just got a really great family that loves me. My husband, Justin, he picks up so much of the slack. he likes to be the quiet in the background, just making sure that the cows get fed and the hay gets baled and, you know, that the kids get to and from when I'm not here. Have they been left at school once or twice? Maybe, but, you know, it builds character. It builds character. So, yeah. And then again, like the Women's Leadership Committee, they're just incredible women on there. So, like, when we have a committee call and we have issues to work through, it's like I help navigate it. But really, like, those ideas and the things, they come from that committee. And then it's cool because that just, we just put that in force and we go. And then we get to, like, say, like, the conference in the summer. And, like, we get to see what all that work looks like. And I don't take credit for any of that. I take, like, it's our committee that produces that. And so it's, like, a little bit of, like, oh, that's just really neat that we can do that throughout the year and then produce that. So, back to your question, I'm not sure if I answered it, but how do I juggle all those hats? There are some days I get up and I say, all I can do is what I can get done today, and I'm going to do the very best today. And then you prioritize and then surround yourself by good people. And then you just hope for the best, you know?
Well, I think you're doing a fantastic job and kind of showcasing and leading by example, you know, especially if you think about your kids. And, you know, if they're wanting to have some of these crazy dreams like you had, how does that maybe kind of inspire you to continue this leadership journey and show them, you know, through learning by doing that, you know, anything that you want is on the table if you work for it?
Well, thank you, Nicole, because, I mean, I think we really take a look at, like, none of us are perfect. And I think every day I can be a better mom. And that's my number one goal in life, is to be the best mom I can. But I do think by showing them that, you know, there's opportunity and if you go seek it, I think that's one of the valuable things that we can do as moms to show our kids that. So how moving forward, what does that look like? Good question. I'm a person of faith and I lead my life in a way that I really believe God's got it. He puts opportunities in front of you, and it's your decision to pick up those opportunities and run with it. Or it's your decision to decide, I'm not sure this is the right opportunity for me, I'm going to wait. And so even with our business, we've grown from myself and what used to be my babysitter who moved into kind of working in the office. I think there's eight of us now, eight or nine of us in the business. And that's just been by finding good people that are kind of looking for the same thing and really God just providing those opportunities. And so I really rely on that. I don't go seeking to grow a big business. I just seek to work with the right people and do good work. And so I think the same thing in the future of leadership opportunities, right? So when I was in my 20s, I was like, well, if I grow up to be the governor someday, that's okay. If God provides me that opportunity, we'll pursue that, right? So that's been my perspective. I'm not gunning for a governor position. I quite honestly, I'll need a lot more training and consideration, right? That would have to be some huge doors that open. But anything between here and there, those are just opportunities when they arise. If I feel like that is a really good place for me to serve, then I'm open to it, right? The other extremely important thing with that, though, is I always want to leave a position with someone who's coming into that position that's far better than I am. So if you can, if in your role, if you can build up the people behind you, like that organization is only going to be stronger, or that board or whatever you're working on is only going to be stronger. So I think that's super important. One thing that I always look at of like trying to build, it's like when I was chair of Maricopa Women's Leadership and too many hats, and I was trying to figure out who to bring into that or who to like entice and encourage. And I came across Amber, and Amber's done incredible things. Amber Owens is the chair now for Maricopa, and with her and you guys, and like, I started building a few little things like the speech contest and the little ag social, but like those were little, you guys blew them out of the water. And like, it makes my heart so happy to sit and go watch the speech contest and think, this is cool. Like, it's far beyond what I could have done with it. And that's what you want. You want somebody to come up behind you and just take the reins and go with it with like that additional energy and insight and make it your own. That's the other thing. I don't take ownership of really what I do. Make it your own, run with it. So those are, I guess, my words of advice, and maybe I have no idea what the future is going to hold, but I'm open to it.
a new face and a fresh start, you know, aren't always a bad thing.
Yes.
You know, people can continue building off of what you've modeled, and mm-hmm. to see it grow, that I can imagine is very rewarding. So would think about young women who are interested in agriculture, but are maybe have that intimidation or that fear about trying to break into an industry. Maybe they don't know much about it, or maybe they do, and they're, you know, still feeling this kind of this intimidation barrier. What advice would you have for the young women who are passionate and want to pursue a career or, you know, maybe a side project or just an advocacy journey in agriculture?
Yeah, I think I would share, I mean, this is what I tell my kids, and then I consider my 4-H kids my kids too, but probably the most valuable thing that you can do is seek opportunities and then say yes. But if you're sitting in a place where you're like, I have not come across opportunities, how would I do that? Start building relationships and work towards relationships that are meaningful. So there are transactional relationships where, and you've probably experienced those before, somebody's getting to know you to use you for what you know. There's a place and a time for them, and a lot of people operate in that place. Then there's relationships that are like solid relationships where you get to know someone, right? And then, yes, maybe I'm going to do something for you, you're going to do something for me, but I want to do it in your best interest, not just because it's the best thing for me. I want to do it because it's the best thing for you. I think that's something that gets lost sometimes, especially in the younger group where you're like, build relationships. And they're like, oh, hi, Mrs. Wood. Great. But there's a skill set that comes with that. You get to know a little bit more about their life, or they, you know, and so if they were to walk in the door and say, I need to talk to a senator to interview him for some paper I'm writing. With that relationship, I could call you and say, hey, Nicole, I've got this 12-year-old needs to write a relationship, you know. So relationships are super important. And I would say that's how you get involved and how you can like start to learn more, right? And then be super inquisitive. Whatever it is you're interested in. If you're interested in cattle or goats or beekeeping or how flowers are grown or fertilizer or soils or leadership or policy, like be inquisitive. Continue those thought processes and just talk to people that you can, you know, get a hold of, and obviously respecting their time. Because then you start to learn the community, right? You start to get to know people, and not just know people and what they can do for me, but you get to know people and what they're doing. One of my favorite things to do is if somebody comes out here to talk to me, whether it's through Farm Bureau or something, is to drive them around our farm. And I've learned this over time, and I think it probably goes to my appraisal standpoint. Like, you learn so much from people when they can share with you about their life. And when somebody drives you around their farm or their ranch, or even you're just sitting over the tailgate kind of visiting about their property, maybe where the fence lines are at and their waters, the stories start to come up. Or they recall something that, oh, that's where Grandpa wrecked his truck that one time, or where we pulled that tractor out. We're all humans, right? We're trying to like live on this earth together cohesively. Hopefully we can provide food and fiber to people and have them respect that. And so I think, as far as, I'm gone off on a whole rabbit trail here, Nicole, but a little bit more passionate area probably for me. But for the young people coming into that, that's what I would say. Like, try and find genuineness in your relationship building, and the rest will come into play. It absolutely will. I would promise you that that would be the case. The other thing is to find a mentor or two. There are a few times I look back and I wish I had a few people in mind that I was like, oh, I wish I would have just picked up the phone call and been like, would you mind like mentoring me for the next year? Just help me learn from you. Cause they were kind of like incredible people that were paving the paths. And I thought, oh, that's really cool what they're doing. And I didn't pick up the phone to call, and I wish I would have. So I was like, just don't be afraid to ask. All they can say is no. And then you could find someone else. Right. So yeah, just don't be afraid. Just go do it. So
no fear.
No fear.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned it briefly earlier, but I wanted to talk a little bit about the Summer Leadership Conference. So as your role as State Women's Leadership Chair and this huge and wonderful group of women putting on the Summer Leadership Conference, which is open to anyone, and maybe you could speak a little bit about the agenda and, you know, the plans that are in store for that. Because I think it's such a great opportunity for the people in Arizona in agriculture to come together. You can brush up on that networking. You can meet so many new people, build some of those relationships and contacts. And I think, you know, that's one thing that I've enjoyed from the conference is the ability to meet new people and then pick up the phone and call them when I have a question. And, you know, that's an invaluable resource. So if we could share a little bit about that and kind of how we can find it, we could also, we'll put the link to the registration. It is on our website, MaricopaCountyFB.org.
I'm so glad you asked, Nicole. This is like the best hidden secret of like the Arizona ag industry, because it isn't, because we have, last year we had 150 people attend, but it kind of is, right? So the Arizona Farm Bureau Women's Leadership Committee works on this conference all year long in programming. But in addition to the Women's Leadership Committee, we have about 10 industry organizations that also sit on the committee that help plan. So it's a very collaborative planning process. This year, we are excited because the event will be held at Little America in Flagstaff and Northern Arizona. Who doesn't love that in Arizona time, right? And I'm super excited because it's been a long requested that we move the conference up north. And what we'll do is the conference will stay in the same place for 2 years, and then we'll move it around the state so that we kind of can hit different demographics or people that can make it. So this year, please consider joining us in Northern Arizona. It'll be held at the Little America in Flagstaff. In addition to that, okay, so we have some exciting things to share. In addition to that, it will be Wednesday and Thursday. So it'll be July 9th and 10th. So the July 9th on the Wednesday is the pre-conference. And this part, you don't want to miss this. And as soon as this hits, hop on and make sure you register for the event. So we have chartered a private car on the Grand Canyon Railway that goes from Williams up to the Grand Canyon on that Wednesday. So it's a separate fee. It's $50 if you register before May 15th. There's only 88 seats. We will take a backup list because we can possibly add another car if we get enough folks on there. But on that car, on the ride up there, so you'll be hanging out with 88 of your like closest like Arizona Aggie friends. We may have a few kind of dignitaries aboard with us, so we're waiting to kind of see what those are, to who those might be, and to announce that. But in addition to that, so you'll get kind of like the history of Arizona, but then we have a few ranchers. Benihana's is going to share with us just kind of the stories of ranching up there on the Grand Canyon, kind of what Northern Arizona ranching looks like. It's just going to be a really cool and unique trip. This is the first time we've done this, and we're looking forward to it. It'll be really exciting. You'll have some time at the Grand Canyon, come back on the train on the way home, land back at Williams, and then head back over to Flagstaff to the Little America, where that evening will be a social hour. We're super excited about this. So there'll be a cocktail time, but also an ag after dark. So for anybody hitting dinner, wants to pop back in, join us. We'll have a separate room for that. And then on Thursday for the conference, so that'll be Thursday, July 10th, the conference motto this year is Harvesting Hope. And every year our committee sits and discusses what's going to be the focus this year. And at the time that we discussed the theme for the year, the elections had not taken place yet. So it was a very uncertain time. In addition to that, the ag economy has not been great the last few years. It just has taken a toll on kind of our ag industry. And so the committee said, in general, we were in consensus, it's time for us to really talk about the things that take place in agriculture and why maybe we are the way we are, but also the tools that we use to continue to do what we do, to feed and clothe the world, to be extreme conservative measures in our water, in our soils, in our production, in our practices. So we'll have a great speaker lineup that's going to speak to a lot of those topics. Primarily, we have Dr. Jack Elliott. So those of you who maybe attended U of A with him, he's now at Texas A&M, but he's going to be our keynote speaker, and he has some incredible programs that he's going to speak about. We'll have the Diablo Trust. They're going to cover what they've done, some really incredible things up there in northern Arizona. We always have the acclaimed Tailgate Talk, which covers difficult subjects to talk about, but has these incredible like speakers that serve on this panel that kind of open up. And then we have a portion on not necessarily mental health, but on kind of reaching our ag industry. So Comet will be there to speak. And then we have some really cool ag producers that are going to highlight what they're doing around Arizona. So in addition to the topics and the issues that are covered, in addition to, I forgot, we're going to have a lobbyist speak, update us on what's going on and the importance of that. Then we also provides a really, it's almost like a little family reunion, not a little family reunion. There's 150 people there, but let's take network and say like a very friendly networking situation. And who doesn't love Flagstaff in the summer? Just remember, it's going to be like 120 in the valley. So we want to get to Flagstaff, enjoy the weather. We did it midweek, Wednesday, Thursday, so that if you want to come up and come home, you're not going to hit the main traffic, the travel weekend traffic. But also if you want to stay and make it a little bit longer, it provides for a little bit longer. So what I want to share most lastly is that this is not a women's conference. This is a summer leadership conference hosted by the Women's Leadership Committee. It is open to males, females. It's open to anyone who wants to get involved. We have government agencies. It's a whole mix. So really, if you have any interest in agriculture, come on up and join us. It's going to be a good time.
I know I'm excited about it. I'm glad that, you know, we got to chat about it and kind of do an extended little showcase about what it is, because I think it truly is one of the best events in Arizona agriculture. And I'm not saying that because I'm biased, but
thanks, Nicole. Appreciate it.
But it's really great. It's a great opportunity. So again, the link to register for that is on our website, MaricopaCountyFB.org. On that note, kind of wrapping it up here, do you have any last words, solid advice for anyone in agriculture looking to break into the industry, or just anything from a leadership perspective?
I don't know. I guess stay humble, but do good work, right? And then the rest will come into play. So, yeah. Thank you, Nicole, for having me. It's been a pleasure. You're officially my first podcast, so I usually don't do these kind of things, but I did appreciate being here with you today. It's always a pleasure.
Well, no, thank you for taking the time. I think it was really great to hear your story and your insights, and I think it's, you know, really valuable to everyone in the community. So thank you for that. And on that, thanks everyone for joining us for another episode of Arizona Agriculture Connection. Be sure to catch us next week for the next Ag Report update on Wednesday.
Thank you for tuning in today. And remember, Farm Bureau has a place for you. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with your friends on socials. You can also visit our website, MaricopaCountyFB.org, for more information and to submit a topic you want to learn about. Remember to tune in every Wednesday wherever you listen to podcasts. A huge thank you to Paloma Ready Mix and Materials for supporting our agriculture producers and this podcast. Maricopa County Farm Bureau, bringing you the stories of real families, real farms, and real food. I'm Nicole Clements, signing off. Catch you next week.